Hi there, Aaron. I am going to give you feedback, audio feedback, on your learning activities assignment that you completed. And I have reviewed your, what you submitted, and I have some comments and some questions and some feedback. Overall, I like what you've done with the module titles. I really appreciate the complexity of designing for a blended environment and the addition complexity of the K-12 environment in which you are trying to implement this course, and the fact that it's dealing with children and that you're actually trying to build something that you will be able to use. So I just want to preface my comments to you with that. I can see you thinking. I can see the amount of work that you're doing, and I can see how daunting it all is and feels. You're juggling a lot of stuff, trying to get your head around, new concepts and ideas, and figuring out reality and how to implement them, given the specific context that you have to work in. I just want you to know that I recognize that, and that I am in awe of the efforts that you are making and appreciative of them. I like how you have things presented in and how you have presented them along the way. It really helps me to see your thinking process, your thought process, and I've seen this evolve over time significantly, and your own thinking around it significantly, and it's getting more and more refined in the way you have this laid out now. I can clearly understand what activities you plan for the face-to-face component of the class and what activities you plan to have the students complete online. I don't want you to lose this work, and I just want to highlight and mention that you can actually, and perhaps should, take each of these sort of overviews of your modules and use them in your course to give an at-a-glance or an overview in the online presentation of the course of what each module entails. And it can detail the face-to-face components, and in fact should, as you have it laid out here, so that it is clear to anyone looking at your course, number one, that it's blended, and number two, that there, what the activities are that are taking place face-to-face and what the students are doing online. So it looks like a whole complete course when you look at it online. So I'm just going to go through module by module and sort of give you my thoughts and suggestions and my questions and my feedback. So I love the questions that you start out asking in module one, and I'm wondering if that might not be something that you could carry forward in each of the subsequent modules, framing these questions really makes it relevant immediately. You can have a connection to, sort of your own life and how these things, how you respond to them and sort of immediately find applicability and relevance to your own situation. So it's just a question and a suggestion that you think about perhaps providing some questions to frame each module. And then, these aren't lost. These are things that you then could carry in to the face-to-face conversations that you have and could frame those, and can also frame the online conversations or discussions that you will design. And that's another comment that I have. I mean, maybe these are the questions that you're going to be using in the VoiceThread activity. I don't know. or in your discussion activity. I don't know. Just keep that in mind, that these are good good questions that you may want to use the approach in subsequent modules. Okay, so for module one, there's a typo in your second question there. Did you review any Spanish of the break? I think you meant over the break. I love these questions. I just love the questions. You're asking them, did they review any Spanish? You're asking them for input into what they want to do this semester and what their favorite thing was from last semester. So you're trying to sort of get their review and get their juices flowing again, and ask them for input into what they want to spend more time on. And I love those questions. They're excellent. The VoiceThread is also excellent. The profile is good. To begin to establish a sense of class community. I'm wondering about internet safety. What are you going to have a little section maybe in the class community area, which also I don't see here, on internet safety? And is there a section that's open for parents to help them understand what you're doing and give them some reassurance about safe use of the internet for their kids? Let's see. Let's go on to module two. I like the overview of the vocabulary and the grammar, how you have framed that out, so we know right away what the topics are that you are focusing on in those modules. My general comment on all of your on the design of the activities is that there's a lot of passivity, or at least it's what it looks like right now from this side of my computer. It looks like there's a lot of passiveness in terms of the activities in both the in-class and the online components of the course. So I have some concerns about, the numbers of PowerPoints and the numbers of self-tests and questionnaires and worksheets that you're having them do. They're very passive. They're very, not really engaging. In other words, kind of boring. And they're not active is the main point. It's like, what are you getting them to do, to produce, to make, to engage, to use the vocabulary, to use the grammar? The self-tests are fine, and those are good ways to get them to see where they are. But, in and of themselves, they're not necessarily, they don't have to be online activities. You're not leveraging the opportunities of the online environment with that. There's no affordance. I mean, they could just as easily do them at home as a homework assignment or in class. They're also, so I think you're missing opportunities. It also feels like you're, creating a paperless classroom in some ways, or creating a place for students to go download material that they actually have to do. Now, if the skill of using the computer to download paper was one of the objectives of your course, then that would be good, because that's an active, authentic activity to learn that skill. But your course is Spanish, not, computer skills. Downloading stuff to me is fine, but it doesn't help you address the learning objectives of your course. Watching the expressive vision, whatever that is, and completing the worksheet, I would like to see you figure out a way to have them demonstrate what they learned in the viewing of that in some other way. And the same with the reading the story. Now, reading the story is not necessarily an online activity. They could read that, offline, which is probably better for them to you know, have that in a book or as a sheet or something, and then have some activity that gets them to produce something that demonstrates what they learned from that activity. So, you know, either they demonstrate their comprehension of that story in some way, or they apply the overall concepts that were presented in that story in some other context, in some other way that they produce or demonstrate that they are able to apply that in a way that you know, is of their choosing, or that shows and demonstrates that they are able to apply what they learned out of that. Your blog, and at first I was excited that you were doing a blog reflection, and then as I went through each of your modules and saw how you're using them, I am much less excited. I mean, they're taking a self-test, and then you want them to reflect on how they did. So either they did well, or they didn't, or they were somewhere in between, and then they're supposed to reflect on their weakness. So their weakness will be, I suck at the, you know, verb ir or something. Or, I mean, that how is that? That isn't really a reflection. That's, you know, an observation that they got straight from how they scored on a quiz. So to me, you need to come up, if you really want them to do a blogging activity, and I see what you're doing. I see you're trying to make that self-test a reflective activity, and you're trying to get them to think about their learning. So you need to do some more work in order to make this work. I mean, I love the idea of the blog. I'm just not sure that applying it consistently to each of these self-test activities is, you know, gonna be an authentic activity. I think that it will be contrived, and they will be stretching to try and figure out what to say, and that the learning from it is going to be negligible. So my suggestion is, if you want them to do a blog, you have to figure out something for them to reflect on that is relevant to them and to their learning and to the topic of your course. And it could be that you give them a blogging assignment to go and research some bit of culture, some bit of Latin culture, whether it's a city or whether it's a custom. It might be, you know, tied to the time of year, you know, and maybe, I mean, there's all different kinds of ways you could do it, but and then have them post that in their blog, and then also have them have an element of metacognitive reflection where you ask them a little bit about, you know, what they learned what they're learning in the particular module, how they know they're learning it, how they can apply what they've learned, how it might be important in their real life to know whatever it is that, you know, is the topic of focus in that module. Why it's important to learn about other cultures, what's something that surprised them that they learned about in a particular thing that they chose to investigate, something like that. And then, you know, to address strengthening any weaknesses that they have or reinforcing strengths, you know, I would suggest what you want to do is make them do stuff, make them produce things that actually ask them to apply what it is that you're talking about in the course. And so, you know, if it is, you know, vocabulary, have them, and let's say, you know, combined with the grammar topics, have them create a story that uses those elements. And they could do this online, they could do it they could do a poem, they could do a short, a quick little story, they could do collaborative stories, they could illustrate the stories, they could do voice annotated collages or video presentations, all of which would be fairly easy for them to do with some of the generator tools that are out there. And so I just want you to think about that and think about how you can get them to apply the vocabulary, how you can get them to apply grammar in, you know what I mean, in active ways as opposed to passive ways like quizzing them and testing them. So get them to produce something, to make something, to describe something, to and not just written. Like I did notice in some of your activities that you're asking them to produce a brochure or something, and some of that is okay, and because you do want to work on the written skills, no doubt. But you know, asking them to do things where they actually can produce the language, or I don't know, there is so much potential with what you could do to make your activities interactive and engaging and multi-sensory, that it's very exciting to think about. And I want you to think outside your box, to think more outside your box and to, you know, give some thought to reframing some of these activities that are online in a way that is more engaging and more interactive and more collaborative. Okay, now I forgot where I was. I think I was on module 2. You know, like I see, this is another comment about your activities in the classroom. It just is death by PowerPoint, Erin, honestly. There's so many PowerPoint presentations, which are also extremely passive. I mean, the students are sitting there listening to you talk over slides. I can't think, I mean, remember what Bill said? The fastest way to get, you know, from, how does it go? From that lecture was the fastest way to get from one piece of paper to another without going through either the instructor's mind or the student's mind, remember? It's like, seriously, you know, instead of, I mean, I know that you do have to present content, that there is stuff that you have to present, but there are certainly things that you could flip so that either they had to do the presentations, like all of your country presentations, the pasaporte presentaciones, all of those you could flip to have the students do them instead of you doing them. In addition, I mean, there's lots of ways you could do that too. Another thing you could do is put some of those presentations online using VoiceThread or Screencast-O-Matic or something, where they view the presentation online before coming to class, and then you use the class to actually apply, use the class for conversation. I mean, really, you have the face-to-face environment. It's a language course. What you want to get them doing is speaking and writing and interacting. And so it seems like, you're not leveraging the options and of the face-to-face environment or the affordances of the face-to-face environment. You're having them sit there and listen to you, you know, when that does not have to take place face-to-face. There is nothing about that activity. It's passive. There's nothing about that activity that says that the best way to achieve the objective is to have them sit there face to face with you. So you should look up, Google the flipped classroom, and look, there's a woman named Jackie Gerstein that you should follow on Twitter and that you should look at for her presentations and stuff on the flipped classroom. But there's a whole lot of stuff right now on the internet about the flipped classroom, and that's where you actually do your lectures and stuff online and then use the classroom time for, real authentic active learning activities and interaction and collaboration and small group and all that. So really kind of leveraging each of the environments, the strengths of each of the environments, and maximizing the use of time. Okay, I lost my place again. Okay, are we still in module 2? Yeah. VoiceThread slides. What is the activity? It says respond to all VoiceThread slides. I'd like to know what that activity is. What are the questions? For the forum questions, I'd like to know what those questions are. I mean, to me, you have a whole lot of stuff in these two different areas and these two different activities, and the most important ones are respond to the VoiceThread slides and the forum questions. And they're the ones where I have the least amount of detail to give you feedback on. So I'll wait to see how you construct those in your course shell. For module 3, I'm feeling, again, I mean, this is where I made a note, death by PowerPoint. I'm feeling overwhelmed by the amount of PowerPoint. Instead of the questionnaire, the reading of the story is not necessarily an online activity, and instead of a questionnaire to identify whether or not they read it and what they got out of it, what if you had them create a Glogster about their own neighborhood, or use some other tool? They could take a little flip camera or a video camera and walk around their neighborhood and talk about it. En español, por supuesto. And then upload that to the course and have them review each other's work. I mean, think about making them do stuff, getting them to be creative and getting them to produce the language written or audio, in written or audio, so that you can, have them engaged in the activity, in the content. The blog activity, again, is very repetitive and redundant and not authentic. Keep thinking about what you can have them reflect on that would make it more engaging and more reflective and more useful, frankly. This is where I had my notes on really using the course as a paper repository and a place where they would go to download notes. I wish I knew more about what you were doing in the VoiceThread and discussions. These are the relevant online activities, the engaging, active learning opportunities online. I'm going to move to module 4. You have excellent projects. I love them. Here, you've got something where they're actually having to produce something. They're having to be creative and having to apply what they've learned. And I want you to think like that for some of these other areas. Glogster is a perfect tool for this. And these things don't have to be huge, long, cumbersome, with lots of complexity. I mean, you could get them to do a Voki, which they only have a minute in which to actually talk. But if they each made a Voki for one of these, about the stories that you have them read, you ask them to answer a question, and they create a 1-minute Voki to respond to that. So they have to do all sorts of things in order to be able to do that. They have to, make sure they're responding to the question. They probably have to write it out. They have to practice. They have to actually do it, So just think about that. Think about these activities as, getting them to interact and produce and demonstrate their learning of the concepts that you're going over each module. So I love module 4. I had a question. Do they do both of those projects or just one of them? Oh, they need to complete one of the projects. So cool. I like that you gave them choice. Okay, let's go on to module 5. What is expressive vision? Is there a way that you could make an activity that would get them to apply whatever it is that you're looking for them to learn in the watching of whatever that is, other than a worksheet? Again, the questionnaire is not really active. Is there a way to get them to apply something by making them create something either related to the story or an application of what they have learned in the story? So let's say, the Garcias have moved from a small village to a bigger city, and so they're really talking about villages and cities, right? And so maybe they could create a little story, or they could do a little collage or a little video slideshow where they voice annotate something about the town in which they live. Is it a city? Is it a village? What are the key features of it? I mean, you could set it up so that there are certain points they have to hit, and it could be really short. But that way you get them to demonstrate the key concepts that you want them to get in a way that's creative and authentic and engaging and active, as opposed to sitting there and filling out a worksheet. My notes here were, yeah, at this point in module 5, I'm really hating the blog reflections and really seriously feeling the whole death by PowerPoint thing. And my comment here was, can't they do the pasaporte presentaciones? And I made this comment earlier, why couldn't they choose a country and do a multimedia presentation of their choice that then you would have them present to the class and use the classroom time to have them present their work to the class? If you could move some of those PowerPoints to the online part of the course, then you could use classroom time for these presentations or for working on the presentations. So think about that. That's the flipped classroom where you have more authentic and engaging and collaborative and active activities for the environment, specific for the environment. So think about that. For module 6, this is where I started thinking about digital storytelling. You have vocabulary for each module and you have grammar for each module. Why not, to demonstrate their learning of the vocabulary and the grammar, why not have a module project for each of the modules where they construct a story of their own, choice? They make it up, and they could use a variety of tools or a variety that you could give them choice on, what to. What to do, what, they could do a little video, for example. They could take a little flip camera around and shoot a little video called A Day in the Life of, or My School, or My Friends. And obviously, all of this would be in Spanish. And if it wasn't a video, they could also do that as a Glogster or a slideshow. They could do a collaborative activity where they could do a little talk show where they interview each other, pretending to be different professions, for example, or where they interview each other about their lives, their own lives. This could be a voice annotated collage or slideshow. It could be a voice thread. It could be illustrated. They could do the illustrations, or they could use photographs, or they could get photographs off the internet in order to produce these. There's a tool called GoAnimate, where they could create little animations. I bookmarked, just FYI, I bookmarked a whole bunch of tools for you to look at, and the tags would be digital storytelling, slideshow, either slideshows or slideshow generators, and animation. I think those are the three main tags. You might try presentation also. And you could look in our class DIGO group, but you could also look in my personal library. So you go to my profile and search my library. I probably have more resources posted there. I have lots of resources for related to digital storytelling. So in Module 7, let's go on to that one. Do they have a choice of projects? You gave them a choice earlier, and I just am not, I can't tell. Oh yeah, no, it says it very clearly. Please choose one of the projects. So they're going to do one of those. Good. How do they create the town? So this is the one where you're having them do a brochure. And what I would suggest here is that you expand out the options for them so that they could create something that's multimedia, something that combines senses, something that combines, you know, audio, video, motion. Here's where I was thinking about GoAnimate might be a good tool to use. So just give that some thought. For Module 8, which is your culminating module, it needs a Spanish title, and I think it's good. I think, review the information in the course manual, in our course manual on getting descriptive feedback from students. I have suggested questions that you may want to adapt or adopt for your end of semester survey. Descriptive feedback is different than a course evaluation, really different. And what you want is to get information from the students that will help you review when you review your course to revise and improve it and your own teaching. And so you can't just ask any question or a simple question like, you know, how did you like the course? Because you'll get it was fine. So you have to ask very specific questions in order to elicit feedback that you're going to be able to use. So, you know, overall, what I think you need to do is to really think about creating active learning activities that capture and engage the imagination of your students and that give them an opportunity to create something to demonstrate their thinking, their learning, their knowledge, that get them to apply what you are wanting them to learn in any given module, and to really rethink the written and passive activities into more creative and engaging activities, and to think about leveraging the options of whichever environment you're looking at, whether it's the face-to-face environment or whether it's the online environment, and making sure that you're making, you know, getting the maximum benefit out of that time that they are spending there in whichever environment we're talking about. Overall, you know, like I said in the beginning, Erin, you've done an amazing job. I understand the complexities. I appreciate the effort that I know that you are working on and through this. And I know that this is going to be a fantastic course. And I'm very excited that you actually have the potential of teaching this course in the fall. And that's what I want to help to support you to do. So, excellent job.